This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne. Thank you for joining me. You know, I watch YouTube videos with these cute animals like baby ducks who are friends with dogs, silky chickens that act like dogs, sugar gliders, chinchillas, and you know, all these videos, all they really do is entice me to get one. But these pets are not like a cat or a dog. So how do you properly take care of them, or is it even wise to get one? Joining me to talk about exotic pet ownership is the critter lady, Kelly Meister-Yetter. Thank you for joining me, Kelly.
It's great to be here, Mason. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Could you tell me a little bit about yourself? Like, how did you get into all this animal stuff?
It was little sort of fits and starts over the years. I've had pets on and off most of my life. There was a time when I was a bit younger, like 30s, and I was involved with a man who had a drug addiction problem. And he had a deaf cat, and I got tired of the drugs because I wasn't doing any of them, and it was not a good arrangement. So I kicked him out. His cat was ill, seriously ill, terminally ill, and he was not in a position to do any more than stalk me. So I had the cops, you know, and the judge send him off to jail, and I rescued his cat and took care of this terminally ill cat in some very intensive ways, and that really started things snowballing. So that after the cat died, I had all this energy, and I thought, you know, what can I do with this? And things just sort of fell in my lap, rescues, various things like that, responsibilities that I took on. So I've been a crazy critter lady for over a decade now and thoroughly enjoy it most of the time when animals are not dying on me. But that's what got me started, and it just, you know, things just keep happening when you're a critter person. So there seems to be no end to, the animals that need help and that I'm, you know, available to help.
Have you ever had to deal with, like, an exotic animal that you've never seen before or is uncommon?
The most exotic animal I've got going on right now in my life is domestic ducks. They're not the same as wild ducks. They require, you know, specific care, and they can't take care of themselves in the wild. They're not meant to be in the wild. And the ones that I have in my yard now are rescues. And I have been for over 10 years taking care of various similar ducks that people dumped in the wild that weren't supposed to be there. And there's a learning curve, you know, involved when you're anything other than pretty much cat, dog, hamster, to me is slightly exotic. Because they require, you know, way different anatomies, way different way of caring for them, and there, you know, a certain amount of research has to be done anytime you encounter a different species. So, to me, the ducks are fairly exotic in that no one else I know has pet ducks in their backyard. But obviously, there are, you know, even stranger exotic animals like spiders that I really wouldn't want anything to do with.
Neither
so,
would I.
You know, I do tend to limit, you know, how exotic the animals get, but I'm always willing to keep an open mind.
You know, there's a lot of videos online of, like, cute animals, and the ones that I'm always suckered for is, like, the cockatoos and the weird little birds,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I say to myself, I want one. Like, I want one that will sing and chirp and dance, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, is it wrong? Should I not do that? Should I just stick with my dogs?
Well, the number one thing I would advise anyone thinking about an exotic pet is, you know, before you even whip out the checkbook or the debit card, do a lot of research because these animals can live for decades. And you mentioned, you know, it's fun to hear them sing. Well, I can tell you that my friend Bob Tart, who is a fellow critter writer, and he's at bobtart.com, has birds like that, and he thought this was going to be great, and it turns out that they do more than just sing. They can mimic his voice. They can mock him and make fun of him in ways he didn't realize. They are very, very noisy at times that you don't necessarily want a lot of noise in your house, and some of his birds, he's got an African gray parrot, among others, that can live 40 to 60 years.
Oh, wow.
So, and unfortunately, now Bob's not one of them, but unfortunately there are people who like the bragging rights to be able to say, I've got one of these. But that's not a really good reason to get a pet either. So, you know, make sure you do your homework, you being anybody listening, obviously. make sure you're ready to take on a commitment that long. Because it's not, the thing about exotics is not all humane societies and shelters will take them.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, with something like a goat or a horse, you can't just drive up and drop it at the front steps of the humane society. And there are a lot of animals that your local agencies will not take. In addition, there are a lot of animals that either are illegal to sell or own in this country or require a specific permit. So you need to do homework there, too, because in theory, if your neighbor's got a little PO'd at you for having a noisy animal or a dangerous animal, you know, if you don't have a permit, a license or something, you know, the police can take it away and euthanize it. So there's a lot to consider with a lot of different exotic species.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to get when I was younger was chickens. And it turns out that in Chicago you can have chickens, but I don't think people would really like, in an urban setting, chickens are, you know, crowing in the middle of the morning.
Right, right. And, you know, chickens are really stinky, too. So, yes, there are places that you can have. There are also a lot of municipalities where you cannot. And I happily live in the township, so I don't have that problem. But neighbors are a consideration. My ducks can get very quacky. I'm lucky that I only have one neighbor, and he's an old friend, so that's okay. But, you know, neighbors do have to be considered, too, with some of these species.
So let's say it's like you don't want a bird or a chicken. What about, like, a sugar glider or a flying squirrel? Because, you know, those I think are legal in Illinois. Can you just buy those and just, like, okay, whatever?
I have a vet tech friend who had one, and she loved that thing dearly. But myself, I want something that I can have a satisfactory interaction with. So things like fish don't do it for me, you know, things that are not cuddly and fun like kitties and dogs. I mean, my ducks don't want me to cuddle them. you know, Bob's birds don't want to be cuddled. I cannot answer for sugar gliders. I know she really had that. She loved it for years, and she was devastated when it died. I'm not sure how much of a, you know, a relationship she and the thing had, but, you know, if that's your thing and you can handle the responsibilities of meeting its needs, you know, why not? Why not give it a shot? But be prepared for a backup plan if it doesn't work out.
You know, being prepared, what kind of preparation would you take for an exotic animal like a sugar glider or the flying squirrel?
Housing, number one. How are you going to house it safely? Is it legal to have one permitted in your area? Do you need a permit for, you know, obviously a sugar glider? Probably not, but, you know, other exotics, there may be a permit necessary for ownership. Can you feed it? Is it going to be expensive to feed? Is it going to be expensive to house? Do you have other pets? How are they going to get along? What if they don't? You know, things like this. What are you going to do if the thing escapes its cage or its pen or its, you know, the house? How are you going to find it? You know, are you going to plan to microchip it? How, you know, what are you going to do? So it's really important to have everything covered. Housing, food, medical. Is there a vet in your area that handles exotic animals, and can you afford that care? You know, that sort of thing. So there's a lot more to consider than just, would this be a fun pet to have?
Oh, wow. I didn't think that you would need a special vet. I thought vets can do all animals.
No. In fact, there are very few in my area that handle ducks.
Really?
Avian vets in the Northwest Ohio area are kind of thin on the ground. So I've had to sort of line up several, and one who was really great moved out of the state.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, you definitely need a vet who specializes in the, you know, the species that you want, because they don't all want to. You know, I've got vets who don't want anything to do with my duck. So, you know, I know one exotic, how do I put it, a farm animal, horses, cows. One vet in Northwest Ohio to handle them, and that's a lot of animals in a big area for one vet to treat. So, yes, definitely you have to know where the closest vet is who will handle your species.
So let's say, you know, you owned a dog, you owned a cat, you had fish and hamsters, but you want to do something a little bit more exotic. What's a great starter exotic pet for a little bit more responsibility?
Oh, golly. You know, it all depends on your taste. I know some high school kids that were doing alpacas for 4-H project. One of them had ducks and chickens and kind of dabbled in various farm animals. I think a lot of it depends on what you can afford, what your accommodations are, because some people have put ducks in their bathrooms in apartments, and that's not right.
No, it's
not. You got to offer more than just a little tiny space for an animal that really needs to be, you know, outside or in a big yard or what have you. So lots to consider in terms of your temperament, in terms of your willingness to commit to a certain time of, you know, my ducks can go 10 to 20 years. They'll probably do 10 to 15, but that's still a long time. As I said, you know, some of the indoor birds, like my friend Bob has, can go 40 to 60 years. Are you ready for all that? And think of this, too. What if you want to go on vacation? Because not everybody knows how to care for your specific exotic pet. So what do you do with it?
That's,
you know,
true.
All kinds of practical, to be considered, like I said, before you even whip out the debit card.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that. Like, you couldn't just take them to a kennel, could you?
No, because they don't. I once rescued chickens. True story. Rescued chickens, took them to the Humane Society in my county, which is a farm county, and they said, we don't do chickens. I said, neither do I. I'm handing them off. I rescued them. I did the right thing. Here they are. And they fought me tooth and nail. And the only reason they ended up taking them is because they had a chicken guy. That's who they referred to him as. That they certainly didn't mention to me, but they knew they had, and the chicken guy said he would take them. But, yeah, you can't just take them anywhere and drop them off. A lot of vets don't know how to care for them, and so, you know, they're just going to turn you away and say, sorry, we don't do that.
I was going to ask also that, you know, there's times where in the city I've found animals, like pigeons.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and It's in a lot of places, like I took it to the what is that place? It was just the Pound. I don't know what else. The Chicago Pound. And I took it there,
right.
And they had these little, I gave them the pigeon, and they were like, we can't do anything with it. And I was really heartbroken because I was like, okay, so where do I take this thing? What do I do with it? And I ended up just giving it to them, and I kind of regret it because I found out later that they just euthanize them. They don't try to save them or anything. So if I want to save, you know, if I find an animal that's injured, you know, should I just take it to any vet or take it to the Pound? Where should I go with this thing?
Well, that's a double-edged sword because there are certain animals that have to be euthanized if they're brought in, raccoons mainly, possums in some areas. So you got to get creative. I wouldn't take it to a Pound. I would call, if you have a wild animal, and I think a pigeon might qualify, there's usually a wildlife rehab facility somewhere in the area that your vet will know about.
Okay.
Even if your vet's not an exotic animal vet of any kind, they will know, you know, where you should take a wild animal. The wildlife rehabbers have state and federal licenses. They can handle these things, and that's where it should go. If it's a domestic animal, I would call the vet again and say, you know, give me a phone number somewhere that I can call that will handle this exotic animal. Because everything's different. Some wildlife rehabbers will not handle domestic animals, and they'll tell you right away, we don't take your parrot, we won't. You know, we won't take your pet turtle necessarily because it may have been brought in from out of state and that's illegal. So there are a lot of factors, you know, to consider when you adopt, when you buy, or even just when you find one that needs help. You have to kind of get smart about which channels to go through because a lot of times, yeah, if you take it to the shelter or the Pound, they will euthanize because they just don't handle them.
It's so sad. I feel bad because
it is.
You know, there's a lot of babies everywhere because I've seen one of my, I think it was my sister's neighbor, and he had a possum that always went through his backyard, and it was no big deal. And he found the possum. She had little babies on her back, and she was dead. And the little babies wouldn't leave the area. So he had like these four little baby possums that, you know, they were large enough to go and fend for themselves. But I guess they just were like, where's mom? So they stayed there, and he didn't know what to do with them. So he just called animal control, and they just came and picked them up. But it's kind of sad because it's like at the end of the day, you don't want to see the babies die. And I think that's probably what ended up happening. But it's, you know, you want to help them, you know.
That's the problem of being a critter lady, too. But, you know, like people in my position who do a lot of rescues figure out really quickly you know, who to call and especially who not to call, because animal control's job is to, you know, get rid of as many nuisance and possible rabies-carrying animals as possible to protect, you know, the residents of the city that they're working in. And that's all well and good unless, you know, you find these cute little possums and, you know, they're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
That's why you call places like a wildlife rehab facility, because they will take the baby possums. They will care for them until they're ready to be released, and then they'll release them, which is happy ending, right? But you got to know, you know, you got to know that going in. Who can I call about possums? If it's wildlife, you call the wildlife rehabbers. If it's just an exotic animal as a pet, you call the vet.
For our people that are listening, where can they find you at?
I am at crazycritterlady.com.
I also noticed you had some books. Where are they available?
I have three. I was only able to send you two, Mason, but I have three. The most recent one that I wasn't able to send you because I didn't have a copy of it handy, what is called Sorry, Honey, But the Critters Come First. My husband came up with the title, and you can probably see why. But they're all available at barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining me, Kelly. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mason. I had a great time talking to you.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.